Hello, I'm Julie Gould, and this is Working Scientist, a Nature Careers podcast. This is the final episode of our six-part series on careers in physics, where we've been hearing stories about transitions. Now, this whole series on careers in physics actually started out as a discussion with two physicists turned editors. One was Andrea Taroni, the chief editor of Nature Physics, and the other was Gaia Donati, an associate editor in the Nature team who has a focus on physics. Now, their jobs, day in, day out as editors, involve speaking to countless physicists, going to physics conferences, reading physics papers, visiting physics laboratories. They are completely immersed in the whole discipline, not just into one specific area. And that's why I wanted to share some of their insights into what the field of physics is experiencing. And thankfully, Gaia Donati was happy to share her transition story too and give some of her insights into the world of physics. Here's her story.
I cover quantum information, particle physics, nuclear physics, so I get a good, you know, good picture of physics research, you know, at the edge of what is going on. I have a PhD in physics, but I transitioned into publishing and into this type of role I have now straight after my PhD.
So tell me a little bit more about your PhD, because you said you cover in your job quite a wide range of physics, but I imagine your PhD was much more focused.
Yes, it was. It was a PhD in experimental quantum optics, which basically means that I got to play around with lasers, mostly, making them interact with all sorts of optical elements. And that was a good experience, but part of the reason why I felt like something different was that it was very focused, because in your PhD, you become a specialist, an expert in one particular topic or, you know, area. And so, yes, it was a big step, because now I get to read about things that I studied years ago.
And why was the concept of the PhD being so focused on one subject just not the right fit for you?
It wasn't fun anymore somehow. It felt like I was missing out on what was going on in the rest of physics. And the more I, you know, found myself diving in, the more I'm losing the big picture, you know, and I wanted to bring that back a bit, I guess. And to be honest, I think that for me, the big hint towards the career, the job I'm doing now was that I used to say while I was writing up that felt like the best moment of my entire PhD. And generally, my fellow PhD students, you know, were, how can you say, like, you know, I can't wait for this to be over. Like, I don't like writing up. It's such a waste of time. I want to go back to the lab and do more experiments. And I so enjoyed it. You know, those 200 pages, I kind of poured all of my ideas and my knowledge of the experiment and, you know, all of that. And I really enjoyed having to develop a narrative, not because, you know, I have to publish or I have to pass my viva, but because I want to make sense of this. I want to bring this into, again, the wider picture. And I thought, maybe that means that I want to do something that has to do with this ability to express things clearly, you know, organize your thoughts, writing. And so that's how it came about.
I was going to say, and so here we are.
Yes.
So now working as an editor on the physical sciences team. So tell me a little bit about that transition, because it's not an easy transition to make.
No, it wasn't. And in fact, you know, if I could give a piece of advice, and in fact I have to some friends who were younger than me and who are now finishing their PhDs in the group where I did mine, start looking for jobs before you finish, because I really got to the end of the PhD and so what now? You know, and that was not very clever, because it took me about 6 months from my viva, basically, so, you know, end of PhD examination, to find my first job, which was not a permanent position, which was in fact a locum associate editor position with Nature Photonics, which is, you know, a sister journal here. So that was extremely good as an opportunity, because even though I had identified publishing as a sector I wanted to explore, you know, I didn't know anyone who did that job, and it was difficult to picture what it would be on a day-to-day basis. So to some extent, the fact that it was not permanent gave me an opportunity to, you know, dip my toes and see, do I like it? And it turned out I liked it. So then when that experience finished, I was again on the lookout for other editorial jobs, this time permanent. And then I landed my current job.
So one of the big topics of discussion in physics is this concept of gender balance, of having, you know, trying to bring some sort of parity to the labs, having more women in senior positions, more women coming throughout the ranks. And we've discussed this in our very first episode of the series with Cornelis Storm and with Elizabeth Tasker, who were both part of gender positive hiring policies to try and entice more women into academia and for in their purposes, specifically in physics. Now, you did your undergraduate master's research in Italy, but then did your PhD in the UK. Mm-hmm. Now, did you find any differences in the gender balance between those two countries in your experience?
Well, I think the short answer is that I became aware of a gender balance issue when I moved to the UK, because simply I was not aware when I studied in Italy. My university undergraduate cohort was, I would say, 50-50 between male and female students. And the research group where I did my master's research was female-dominated. Let's describe it as follows. I remember my PhD interview. So I walk into this meeting room for what would become my research group. And I look around and there's about 10, 12 people, and they're all male. And it doesn't dawn on me immediately, but then I look around a bit and I'm like, where are women? Like, what is going on? And I discover that a couple of female postdocs have just left, you know. Well, it's something that definitely struck me, because I could see that there was a lot of talk about it in Oxford and in the department. And it does leave me with the feeling that maybe it is country dependent. There is something cultural that so you do have some variability across countries. My personal diagnosis, in a sense, is that the problem starts a lot earlier than university. That's my feeling. I think it starts, I would say, almost primary school.
Okay, and I want to talk a little bit about this thread that's been running through our conversation, which is the concept of a broad overview. Mm-hmm. Now, you, as an editor yourself, you said, you know, you learn about all sorts of different subjects in physics. You also have contacts in all these various subjects. And you see how the field of physics is evolving from, mm-hmm. you know, from as time goes on and yeah. as the research advances. So I want to know, from your perspective, what are some of the big things happening in physics? And what are some of the big challenges that people see in physics?
Well, one trend which I see probably more of than when I was a PhD student, say, is people deciding to switch fields or, you know, actively try to find an interdisciplinary collaboration. So somehow I think they might have the same drive I had. Like, maybe they are slightly fed up with their focus, you know, what they've been working for years. And so rather than, say, look for a job outside of academia, they stay in academia, but they try to branch into something else where they will need to learn, obviously, because they won't be subject experts, but somehow, you know, a new challenge. And I think that this is something that is characterizing physics more and more, this willingness to reach out to different fields, different areas, see if, you know, the physics, so-called physics mindset, can somehow collaborate, can help, can bring insights into other areas. This is something that I think is now characterizing the field more than it used to years ago. Then obviously there are some backgrounds whereby I feel the transition to industry is facilitated. So particle physics, I think, is an example. It, at least from what I've seen, many projects there involve a huge component in data analysis. Those people are usually experts in machine learning techniques. They handle huge amounts of data. That's real big data, at least from the perspective of someone like me, if I think of my data sets. And I can see, and I know of, several people who then think of going into data science, for example, which is one field that is attracting a lot of attention. Lots of companies search for data scientists, data analysts. The names can change slightly, but probably in my perception, at least, which is obviously not all encompassing, but I feel that particle physics might be one of those areas where the transition into data science is probably, for physicists, kind of the easiest or the most natural, you could say.
Well, I've got to admit, I'm very pleased to hear all of these things because these are all topics that we've discussed throughout this series on Careers in Physics. We've had Stuart Higgins talk about his transition from physics into biophysics. Mm-hmm. And we've also heard from Lewis Armitage, who was a researcher at CERN during his PhD, mm-hmm. and he now works as a data analyst as well. So these are just a couple of examples of the people mm-hmm. that we've spoken to. So it's nice to hear that your perspective is what we've covered in this series. So Gaia, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate
it.
Thank you. Now that's it for this series on Careers in Physics from Working Scientist, but I will be back later this year with a series on PhDs. What the needs of PhD researchers are, how the PhD training schemes have changed, and what changes are yet to come. It's going to be launched in November 2019, so come back then. But in the meantime, you can always follow the Nature Careers Adventures online on Twitter, on Facebook, and on the website at www.nature.com/careers. Thank you for listening. I'm Julie Gould.